Welcome to High Point Church. My name is Shannon Dickerson, and we hope you enjoy today's message. If you do, please like and share and let us know what you enjoyed most about it.
Today, sadly, I believe we are concluding the current series of teachings we're on the subject of praise the Lord. I heard these little bells are going to be going, hallelujah. You might hear that on the video, but we learned last week that praising the Lord is not just something we do with our words or with our songs. It's what we do with instruments. So there's a lot of different ways in which we can praise the Lord, and I will probably set us up to review mainly at the end of this, because I really want to cement some stuff in you as we move along. But the main emphasis of what we've been doing during this series, entitled Praise the Lord, yeah, there you go, is that we're not just called to sit back and observe what somebody else is doing. Amen? Far too many churches, far too many Christians treat the praise and worship service like it's a concert. We sit back and we're entertained by what somebody else does. But what we learned is we're all called to be full-time praisers. Full-time as opposed to part-time. Amen. And what that means is that our lives are called to declare the praises of the Lord. We looked at a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2. Hallelujah. I'm going to be doing really good to keep on track today. But he talks about how you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, his own peculiar people. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, peculiar people, man, I can attest to that. I've gone to plenty of churches. In fact, I turned around when Pastor Robert was saying, how many can use a little healing in your mind? I looked around because there should have been a whole lot more people raising their hand during that part. But no, it's not calling us peculiar as in weird. It means that we are special. We're different than the world out there. And then he goes on to tell us in that verse why we have been chosen. We have been created this way. It's so that you can declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So the whole purpose and intent of our salvation and the grace of God bestowed on us is to what? To declare his praises. Hallelujah. And so what that means is we're all called to be praise and worshipers for the Lord. Not just on Sunday, but on Monday, on Tuesday, all the way through Saturday, all the time we're supposed to be praising the Lord in our lives. And so we're not just observing, we are practicing this in our life. And we're going to review at the end some of the ways in which we've been learning this, because we've been going through the various Hebrew words for praise. And what we've been learning is our praise is a whole lot more expressive, a whole lot more emotional than most people think it would be. And like I made the point last week, there's a lot of churches out there that will frown upon emotionalism, as they call it. Oh, brother, we don't want any of that emotionalism during our praise and worship. We don't want people, and what they're really saying is, don't get excited. Don't do anything that's demonstrative, that's expressive. I don't know where they got that from, because that is definitely not one of the things that changed from the old covenant to the new covenant. Amen. The Bible talks about the new covenant being the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and he's likened to new wine. Now, I don't know about y'all, I've talked about this before, but that is one of the reasons people out there, not people in here, but people out there drink. Can I get an amen with that? I mean, do y'all not agree with that? Good gracious, we're going to have an altar call at the end then, I guess. But what we learn from that is the Holy Ghost is the grandest substitute for all the narcotics and different things that people in the world try to do to give them freedom and happiness and joy. Amen. I know I'm looking at some people in this place that have been set free from said things. And what you learn is the Holy Ghost is the best substitute. Oh, hallelujah. He'll make you as high as a kite. He'll make you as drunk as you can be. I'm talking about spiritually. And he don't cost nothing. And he don't give you no hangover either. That's more fun. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit's supposed to be providing these things in our life. And we learn through these various Hebrew words that all the things such as dancing, whirling about, shouting, doing all these different things are what God considers praise to be, not what we consider praise to be. In most churches of the frozen chosen down the street that dare not blink lest the usher come and give them the right foot of fellowship right out the church. We give you freedom here, hallelujah. I want you to get excited. When you get excited about something, you'll be loud, you'll be expressive, hallelujah. So today is the last word we're covering today. And it's a really important word that I think the Lord will teach us various things from. And the last word I want us to cover today is the word barak. It's spelled B-A-R-A-K, barak. And this word, when you look it up, it's the very common word used in the Old Testament to describe blessing. Both God blessing man and man blessing him. Which is really important and important factor on this. In fact, let me give you the definition of what this word means. It literally means, and we'll get back to this in a moment, to bend the knees and kneel down. So to bend your knees and kneel down, which you saw some of that today. And it's to bless God as an act of adoration. And out of the 338 times it's used in the Old Testament, it's translated bless over 300 of those times. So I think bless is the best definition that we can use for it. Let me show you a couple of places where it describes this attitude of praise, though. And I'm going to get back to it and talking about how God does this with us, because we can learn some lessons from that. But I want us to look at how we do this with the Lord. There's a couple of verses. I'll just quote these to you. Psalm 18:46 says, David said, blessed be my rock. Psalm 28:6, 31:21, and 41:13 all say, blessed be the Lord. Amen. That means he is to be blessed. He is to be baraked. Amen. So he's the blessed one forever. Let me show you in Genesis chapter 12 where this word is used, in a very common passage of Scripture, and we'll learn something from this. This is good. This is the story of when God called Abram out of his father's house, and he told him how he was going to bless him. Now, one thing you got to understand as you're studying this is not just a nice blessing for a man that lived thousands of years ago named Abram. We learn in the New Testament that the same blessing that he had over him, we have been blessed with. And what does that mean? If we've been blessed with the same blessing of Abraham, that does not mean you have his stuff. You do not want a several thousand year old donkey carcass. You understand that? Or a tent that's been buried for thousands of years. You don't want his stuff. You want the thing that was on him, that was pronounced over him, that caused him to have the ability to get that stuff. The Lord says in another place in the Old Testament, it is God who gives us the power to get wealth. That's not just talking about money. There's things that are more important than money. Amen? Some of the most blessed and prosperous people on this planet might not have a tremendous amount of finances in their bank account, but they got a good, happy, healthy marriage. They got children that are serving the Lord. All the things that are a part of the blessing God has called us unto. Amen? And this is where it started. God, notice what it says in verse 1. Now the Lord had said, say had said. Most people miss that when they read that, but what this is saying is, he's recounting, Moses who wrote Genesis is recounting how the Lord had said this in a past time to Abram. And what that really teaches us is, like Abram was notorious for doing, he wasn't always the most obedient person. A lot of people look at the life of Abraham and say, well, I know why he was so blessed, because he was a man of faith. And because he served the Lord and followed the Lord everywhere. Nah, he lied to save his neck. And gave his wife over to another man to lay with her. I mean, you know, he wouldn't have made the cover of Charisma magazine if he'd have done that today. He made ultra mistakes. And in fact, if you study his life, you find out he made a mistake in the very beginning when God called him. God told him to get out of your country and from your family and your father's house. And if you go back and read, you know what happened? He waited till his dad died. I wonder how many people, God's called them to do certain things. They say, all right, Lord, just let me wait till a convenient time for me to do it. Well, that's not the way to get blessed. But this is the awesome part about Abram. He made these mistakes, yet God still blessed him. That's good news for you. That's good news for me. Because guess what? We all screw up just like Abram did. And his blessing is irrevocable. That's what's so awesome about it. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Amen. I recall this. I'm not going to embarrass the person that this. God gave a really good word to somebody this week. We were having our prayer meeting, happened to have the prayer meeting on Wednesday. And I, just at the end, I just felt compelled to call out this certain person. And I said, the best is yet to come. And I told this person, who's not necessarily a spring chicken anymore, you know, and I told this person, I said, God's calling and the gifting on your life, you have not retired from. It's still alive, and you got to stir up that gift on the inside of it. This person told me afterwards, after I gave them that word, they said, you know, just about 3 weeks ago, Pastor, I'd gotten sick, and I'd been dealing with a lot of different physical issues. And I actually said to the Lord, Lord, I guess I'm just getting old. I guess all these things are past me and all this stuff. And then this person heard the Lord say to him, the best is yet to come. And then this person told the Lord, said, Lord, is that you? If it's you, confirm it to me. And straight out of the mouth of the donkey, on Wednesday night, it got confirmed. I say all that to say that the blessing of the Lord does not get buried and pass away. It always has potential if you'll stir it up. So the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Now notice this. Then he says, I will make you a great nation. I will barak you, bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So this was the blessing that God had put on Abraham's life. Amen, at the very beginning. But what you'll notice is it is the word barak that was used for blessing. The same word that's used to describe the blessed one and how we would bless the blessed one, God. So what I learned from this is, and one thing you can learn from the blessing is, when God would bless people and things, the words that were spoken to bless them were the catalyst for the blessing coming upon them. In other words, the blessing is voice activated. And where I get this from is, you look at the creation of this world. When God would create the fish in the sea and the birds of the air, the Bible says that, and God blessed them, saying, and then he would say something to the effect of, be fruitful and multiply. So God would bless his creation by saying the words, be fruitful and multiply. Now, it's not just casually speaking it out like we use words. It was with intent and with purpose that when I say it, it comes to pass. Amen. And this is important to get because you have the same ability to do it. In fact, sitting on this second pew today, not Wendell, but Levi, is a product of this very thing I'm teaching you this morning. When Shannon had conceived Levi, when we were out in Colorado Springs, Colorado, I understood these principles. And do you know what I would do some nights? She'd have her belly full of this new life that's coming into this planet. And I would get over her belly and I would cup my hands over her belly and would bless him, speak life into him, speak all the blessings and promises of God over him. And I think he's turned halfway all right. Amen. I have to say my joke when I say that. I went to a person in the congregation here one time and I said, brother, you aren't half bad looking. I said, you're full bad looking. Amen. He knew me. He understood me. I wouldn't say that to just anybody. But anyways, the blessing is something that is eternal. It's permanent and it's transmitted through spoken words. In fact, if you go study the patriarchs, the blessing was transmitted as they would speak words of life, almost like prophecies over the firstborn. It was, the intent was that. But sometimes, hey, other people pressed into it. That's what I love about Jacob. That little rascal, he wasn't even the firstborn. But because he wanted it more than the firstborn, he got it. How much of God's blessing do you want on your life? Well, go get it. Amen. Like the Bible says, get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. It reminds me of kind of like that the mothers used to do back in the day when they'd have farms and they'd have their kids out working on the farms. And they'd prepare the dinner and prepare this spread, a table before them. And then she'd open the door, maybe ring a bell or do something. Ring a bell? And she'd say, what would she say? She'd yell out and say, come and get it. That's the way God does it. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And then he tells you, come and get it. Well, God's just not blessing me like he's blessing other people, Pastor. I wish it happened to me like it happened to other people. Well, blessing don't happen by wishing or hoping. It happens by believing his words. Amen. So he speaks these blessings over him. Now, we're talking about praising the Lord, though. This is what the Lord might say over you. But I want you to notice, this is the same way you would bless the Lord. Like when he says in verse 2, I will make you a great nation. One of the ways you can bless the Lord is, God, you got a great kingdom. I just baraked the Lord. What did I do? I spoke a blessing. It's not meaning I'm going to bless his kingdom anymore. But what I'm doing is I'm praising his kingdom. You've made a great nation for yourself, Lord. Thank you for the kingdom of God that does not pass away, never ends. Hallelujah. And thank you that I'm a part of that kingdom where all these blessings flow. Then it says, I will bless you and make your name great. Lord, I thank you. Your name is great, and it is greatly to be praised. Adonai, Yahweh, Jehovah, and all the other Jehovah names that come with it. Lord, this is who you are. What am I doing? I'm baraking the Lord. And you shall be a blessing. And I thank you, Lord, that you are a blessing to me. Hallelujah. And this is one of the things that's awesome about God. I remember one time I was praising the Lord with a couple of other individuals. And during this prayer meeting, we were just praising God in the beginning. And I just said, Lord, I thank you that you are the blessed one. You are a blessing. And here's what's awesome about God. He's such a blessing that if you just get in the vicinity of him, just get close enough to him, you will be blessed. There is no questioning who it is that's in the presence of the Lord. Amen. That's where the blessing is. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of depression, sorrow, confusion. No! Joy, peace, and all these other things we're talking about. That's what it's like being in the kingdom of God. Amen. So, he shall be a blessing. And look at this. He said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. Lord, I just thank you that everybody you bless is blessed. Oh, thank you, Lord. And that's where we want to live. This is how we need to understand. So, we are blessing the Lord when we proclaim similar things like he speaks over us when it comes to the blessing. Amen. Let me take you over to another passage of Scripture this morning that will kind of continue to echo this. If you got your Bibles, go over to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. This is what's so awesome about blessing the Lord, is it's essentially praising him. It is speaking well of him. In fact, let me give you, while you're turning over there to Numbers 6, let me give you a New Testament way in which this is used. Do you remember when Jesus was telling us how to love our enemies? And he tell you to pray for those that spitefully use you. What was the first thing he said there? Bless those who curse you. Now, this is why it's really important to know how to look words up. Because I've heard people say that, well, so if somebody cusses me, then I just need to bless them. That cursing doesn't just mean cussing you with four-letter words. To curse means to speak negatively of, or to defame, or to slander someone. How many of you have ever had somebody defame you, slander you, or speak negatively about you? If you haven't, then you hadn't been on this planet very long. It happens all the time. Well, what did Jesus tell you to do? Bless those who curse you. The Greek word that's used for bless there is where we get our English word eulogy from. It's the Greek word eulogia, which literally means, when you look it up, EU means good or well, and logos is attached to that word, which means to speak or a word. Amen. So what does bless mean? What does eulogia mean? It means to speak well of, to speak good things about. Kind of like when we eulogize somebody at their homegoing. They call it a eulogy for a reason. Not so you can stand up there and tell all the bad things about them. It's to speak all the good things about them. Now, I've done some funerals before where it was really hard to find anything good to say about them. But you find something. Amen. It reminds me of a story of a preacher that I listened to. And when he was real young, his grandma took him to a funeral. And there was this open casket, and there was these ladies standing around the casket. And this person was apparently the menace to society during that time. A terrible person. People just didn't like him. Made all kinds of poor mistakes. So this person's passed away, and everybody's going around the casket. Each lady's talking about what a bad person they were and all the bad things they had done and all this kind of stuff. And it got around to this preacher. He was a preacher as he grew up. His grandma, who he never heard her say anything negative about anybody whatsoever. So he's interested. What's grandma going to say here about this guy where apparently people can't find anything positive about him? She looks over at him, looks in the casket and said, "Well, he had nice teeth." You can find something positive to say about just about anybody, amen? Well, there might just be an absolute jerk, but they got nice hair. They dressed nice. Whatever. Find something positive to say. Well, that's what blessing is. It's to speak good things over. So you need to be doing this like the Bible says to do this with your spouse. Husbands, with your wife. You wash them with the water of the Word. So husbands, and I believe wives should be doing the same thing. You speak positive things over them. Don't go around telling everybody how they fall short and what a jerk they are and all the things they don't do right. Speak life and not death. Speak blessing and not cursing. Because to bless is to speak good things about. To speak well of. Well, I don't want to be lying, Pastor. How are you going to be lying if you say what God says? What does God say about him? Oh, hallelujah. What did he say about Peter? You're the rock, man. Peter was not the rock at that point. He became the rock. He said over Gideon, "You're a mighty man of valor." He said over Abram, "You're the father of many nations." He hadn't even had any kids yet. So God will speak these blessings. He will barack people with the intention that this is what's going to happen, because God, who lives in a spiritual realm, knows there's no time and distance in this, and it will come to pass when spoken in faith. So if you want to experience God's best in your life, you need to look at your checkbook, your wallet, your purse, and speak some nice things over it. Not, "You're always empty. You always leave me hanging. I never have enough during this time. I never have enough to buy all my Christmas gifts." Don't do that. Don't nobody take my wallet. I'm going to leave it right there. Somebody's going to walk out of here leaving this place saying, "Oh, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed." Thank you, Jesus. You are blessed. You just got to believe it. And what do you do? When you believe, you will speak. David said, "I have believed and therefore I've spoken." Amen. This is how you got saved, and this is how you get every other aspect of your salvation in your life. So God would oftentimes, through the Old Testament, he would show us how blessings occurred. And this one in Numbers chapter 6 is something that's very familiar to some of us. This is what's called the priestly blessing. Okay? And I want you to notice what God told Moses concerning this priestly blessing. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying," verse 23, "speak to Aaron and his sons." These were the Levites, these were the priests that were going to be blessing the people, "saying, Say this with me. This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Stop right there. So this is the way you're going to bless them. I wonder how many of the priests that might have come along in the Levitical priesthood might have just said, well, I know God said that, but I'm going to do it my way. Well, you know, that gets people in trouble. When Moses went and struck the rock instead of speaking to it, he got in trouble for that. It's important that you learn to do things God's way, like we've been learning about praise, amen? We praise God His way, not the way we think we should praise God. Amen? So this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say these words with me. Say to them. So this is the way you're going to bless them. It's by saying something to them. And what is this? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. So He even gave them the specific words of how to bless the people. Amen? I wonder if God's given us any specific words of how to see others in our life and in our own life be blessed the same way. I can guarantee you, one of the ways is just like this. But did you know, again, this is how you barak the Lord too. I actually wrote it out. Let me see. I don't think I can say it off memory as good as I'd put it down here. But this is how you can bless the Lord, even with same words like this. Lord, You have blessed me and You have kept me. Lord, You have made Your face to shine upon me. Lord, You've been gracious to me. Lord, You have lifted up Your countenance upon me and You have given me Your peace. I just barak the Lord with the same blessing that the priest were to give the other people. I think God's pleased with that. I don't think You can do anything much better than that. Lord, thank You. You've already lifted Your countenance upon me. See, there's a big difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Amen. The Old Covenant, we needed to have kind of things done and replaced. We had to go to the altar many different times. In the New Testament, a little bit different. Jesus was the eternal sacrifice without spot and blemish that was offered up for us. So now we have this continual blessing of forgiveness, grace, and salvation in our lives. Let me take you to a couple of scriptures as we close today of how this word bless is used. And you're going to find it's used in some interesting verses. The first one I want you to go to is Psalm 34, verse 1. Same way we started our service off today. Love this verse. We actually saw what the word praise means here. But when you look at Psalm 34:1, David was speaking. In fact, I believe this was the time where he was pretending to be crazy to save his own neck, right? Now, that's really interesting because it was a tough time for David. That was a tough point in David's life. So these words, understand, this wasn't during the fruitful, prosperous kingdom time for him. This is during a tough time where everybody's out to get him. Everybody's out for his neck. And he said what? I will barak the Lord sometimes when it's convenient. All times. Now, do you know why I believe he chose to use the word barak here instead of all the other Hebrew words for praise that we've been using? It's because of this reason. When God blesses something or someone, they're blessed at all times. It doesn't change. It's not in one day and out the other. So if the blessing stays consistent and continual in one's life, it's to be understood that I would bless the Lord for that blessing at all times too. Because guess what? I'm always blessed. Even in the tough times. Even when there's nothing in the stall, when there's nothing in the bank account, when everything, all hell's breaking loose in your life, you need to stand up and say, I am blessed. Like the Bible said about Joseph when he was stripped naked, sold into slavery from his brothers, and he's on the trading block when Potiphar was going to buy him. I love what the Bible does here. This is so powerful. It says he's standing there, has nothing. Everything's been taken from him. And the Bible says, And Joseph was a prosperous man. Sure didn't look like it to the naked eye, but he was. He was still successful. Why? Because the blessing of the Lord is not stuff. The blessing of the Lord is something that's unseen, spiritual, and eternal that one taps into that will always be like the cork. That when the devil tries to push you all the way down, boop, you pop back up. Amen. Devil tries to push you down again and hold you down. Can't hold me down, boop. The outward things are temporal. The spiritual things are eternal. Amen. It's like Isaac said, I believe, over Jacob after he had blessed him. And Esau gets all flipped out about it. He said, man, I've already blessed him. I can't do nothing about it. It's already been released. I can't change it. It's not going to change for you either when God's already done it. The best is yet to come. I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually, His song of praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 103, turn to this one. Psalm 103, very familiar verse. Notice this. Oh man, y'all know how this one really applies to us. We're going to look at the first two verses. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now a lot of times people miss it with this particular psalm, thinking it's just a song. Or some poetry that was written before. Oh, it would be nice if I said that. You know, a lot of Christian songs are written that way today. Oh, well, this sounds good. There's truth in this. And there needs to be truth in our praise too. Amen. So when he says here, he chose to use the word barak for blessing the Lord. And then what is he doing? He's talking to his soul. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. That is one addressing their soul saying, barak the Lord right now. Do you know why you'd need to do this? Because your soul is flaky. Your soul, your flesh, and all this natural part of you is unregenerate, unredeemed, and it might one morning say, oh, I'm happy today. Let's praise the Lord. And then the next day, it wants to pull the covers over its head, pull the blinds down, and turn its phone off because it's flat depressed. What do you need to do during times like that? Praise the Lord. I get to say it back to y'all. Bless the Lord. Speak positively during that time of the Lord. And this is how you'll do it. Oh, you wake up tomorrow morning. Some of you are going to wake up tomorrow morning feeling just like this. You ready? You're going to wake up tomorrow morning and say, oh, it's Monday. Oh, I hate Mondays. It's the Christmas season. I hate this time of year. You know, people don't like to be around folk like that. You realize that? You want to be around happy, fun people. We had a good time yesterday. Amen. We want to be around happy, fun people. Like Jim Yonke back there, praise God. Be about people that are excited and talking good and positive things, hallelujah. Blessing. Amen. So you got to do this with your soul. You got to treat your soul like you should be treating your young children. Hey, praise the Lord right now. I wish my soul reacted like y'all do. And that sometimes it might take a swift kick to the rear end. To get your soul active to start doing it, you got to make yourself praise the Lord sometimes. And what's awesome, this is the great part right here. Brother Hagin used to say this. He said many times, I'm going to try to say it like him. He was nasally, like he'd been drinking cracker juice. And he just talk like this. He said, many times I started out in the flesh. But by the time I hit the ground, I was in the Spirit. Amen. What do we mean by that? We mean sometimes you can't wait for yourself to feel like praising the Lord. If you're always going on a feeling, what are you going to do? You're not going to do it half the time. And you're definitely not going to do what we just read in Psalm 34 about doing it at all times. How are you going to do it? You got to talk yourself into it sometimes. Say, soul, Grab yourself by the ear. We're praising the Lord now. No more of this down in despair and catering to my feelings. Well, and I know it gets hard. I know how it is. It gets hard for me. But I have to stir myself up and say, soul, we are praising the Lord right now at this time because God's blessing is upon me. Hallelujah. One other scripture I want you to look at, Psalm 95. Do you remember when I was giving you the definition for barak? Is that this word, it does describe blessing, but one of the definitions for it is to kneel. Do you remember where I said that? To bend the knees and kneel? That's important for this last point that I want to leave you with today. When you look at this verse right here, it says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us barak before the Lord, our Maker. So here it's translated that definition that a lot of the times the word kneel is used to describe how one does this. Okay? Now, why is this so important? Because it leads us into what I believe is just putting the perfect bow on this here Christmas gift of praising the Lord. And it is this: praise will always lead one into worship. You remember we've looked at Psalm 100 verse 4 many times in this series that says you enter into his gates with todah, thanksgiving, and into his courts, yada, with praise. And it leaves this off because to the Old Testament saint, they could enter into the gates, they could go through the courts, but only a certain person could go into the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant dwelt. And that was who? The high priest. Under this new and better covenant, all of us, from the greatest to the least, can go into the Holy of Holies anytime we want, whenever we want, and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And I think that really illustrates our point today. I was going to take you into the primary Hebrew word for worship, but I don't think I'll take the time to do that this morning. The worship aspect of all of this is key and critical to ushering us into the presence of the Lord and ushering the presence of the Lord into our life to where things happen. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus was being tempted by the devil? And Satan was coming and throwing it all at him, trying to get him to sin. Which is interesting. What I love about that whole account right there is, you know why Jesus did that? Because he had to successfully navigate the area where the first Adam failed in. What I mean by that is, when Adam was tempted to sin, in the paradise of God, in the most perfect environment one can be in. And he was tempted in three different ways. If you go back and study it out, you'll find that out. So he's tempted in all these different ways, and he failed miserably. Jesus, being the last Adam, had to come and do it the right way where Adam failed. And so the wilderness temptation and those three temptations, if you go and look at him, it's the three things that are in the world: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He's tempted in these three ways. And Jesus, this is what I love about God. This is how cool God is. He was like, all right, my son's going to come, and the last Adam's going to do what the first Adam should have done. All right? But I'm not going to give him the perfect environment to do it. It's not going to be in the garden of God. It's going to be in the wilderness. And not only that, not only is it going to be the imperfect environment, hard environment, I'm going to make him fast for 40 days. So he's going to get at his weakest point. And devil, he's still going to whoop you. And he did. It is written. It is written. It is written. And on the third and final temptation, what did he say? The devil was trying to get him, I'll give you all this if you'll just bow down and worship me. I love what Jesus said. It is written, you shall worship, kneel down, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. I could see Jesus at that moment say, I'm not worshiping you, devil, but I'm going to get down on my knees right now, and I'm going to worship my heavenly Father, and I'm going to give him this blessing because he's my Father, and I'm going to do it as an example to them and all those that come after me for them to know this. And this is the best part of the story. When Jesus said, it is written, get behind me, Satan, get away with me. It is written, you shall worship the Lord God, and him only shall you serve. The next verse says this, and immediately the devil left him. I wonder what happens when God's people say, I'm going to get down on my knees and I'm going to worship the Lord. And I'm going to bless him at all times. I am going to tell my soul it's time to give God some glory and bless him and speak words of adoration over him. I wonder what the devil does when you and I choose to start worshiping God in the midst of the most horrendous and difficult trial. Maybe, just maybe, the devil will leave you too. You know why? Because that's what he wanted from the beginning. He wanted the worship. He wanted the praise. He said, I'm going to be like the Most High God. And you know, a lot of people think that that's what his job was when he was the archangel, is that he was the worshiper, the lead worshiper. Right? That's what some people think. And so he's saying that. He's like, I want all this praise that I'm ushering people into for myself. And the Bible says, with a flick of his finger, God cast him out of heaven like lightning, Jesus said. This is what I love about when you worship the Lord, the devil don't want to hang around you. Guess what else don't want to stay in your vicinity when you worship the Lord? Sickness. Depression, poverty, anything else that's outside of the blessing of the Lord that God says is yours. The devil will pack his bags and get out when you really worship the Lord in the right way, in the right time. When you do that, I'm telling you, the devil don't hang around. He's like, forget this, I'm getting out of here. And I remember sometime I was hearing Norville Hayes, a preacher I listened to a lot. He said, the devil just go across the street when you start worshiping the Lord. And those devils will go across the street from you. And they'll look over at your house and they'll look at you like this. You just got to know who he was. He had this round face. It was funny when he did it. But they just get mad. They hate it. You and I need to learn how to bless the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The Lord would say unto you today, when you learn how to bless me at all times, my blessing will rest upon you at all times. It's just going to happen. When you learn how to truly worship him in spirit and in truth, this is when the blessing of God is released in and on your life. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand on our feet. Thank you, Jesus. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm going to give God glory all the time in my life. I know we've learned a lot of really good and awesome things through this series of teaching, and I really encourage you to get on our mailing list so that you can get my notes and revisit these things and go back over them, because there's a lot, so much more here that needs to get cemented on the inside of us. God wants all these aspects of praise to become a realization in our life. He wants us to halal the Lord, todah the Lord, tehillah the Lord, yada the Lord. There's all these different words, shabbat the Lord and so forth, all these things we've gone through. Man, we learn how to do this, the walls come down, the blessings come in. Amen. And this is the key to walking in the life of God that he has for us. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Lord, we thank you today that, Lord, you are the blessed one. There is none more blessed than you. There is none more rich, successful, full of life than Adonai. And we are so thankful today that you have given us clear, crystal, concrete ways in which to receive all the blessing you have for us. And we know that it's found in blessing the Lord and praising Him at all times. So we thank you today for your goodness and your grace, for your mercy, for the life that you have given us. Thank you, Jesus.